Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this Ash Wednesday evening. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, which is our journey all the way to the cross of Christ and then to the empty tomb 3 days later. It's a repentance season, and therefore we fittingly begin with Ash Wednesday. The ash symbolizes the dust and ashes that we become when we die, and wages of sin is death. And so today we're going to start our repentance season by taking a look at our sins and how we have a humble attitude before God. You'll see that reflected throughout the service this evening. We'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper, so if you are a visitor with us, please see the announcement there inside the front bulletin, or in the cover there. If you are a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, please prepare your mind and hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. We'll begin our service tonight with hymn 127. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1 and 3. God bless your worship this evening. Please remain seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, in the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, in mercy receive the prayers of your people. Grant them the wisdom to know the things that please you and the grace and power always to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first lesson this morning comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12. David had just committed a great sin. He had killed Uriah the Hittite so that he could marry his wife Bathsheba, because he got Bathsheba pregnant already. In this great act of sin, the prophet Nathan had to confront it. And here we see what happens and how serious God is when it comes to sin. From 2 Samuel chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and with his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says: Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to the one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. The word of the Lord. The choir will now sing a song based on Psalm 51, the great penitential song. The second lesson this evening comes from the New Testament book of Acts. We go to chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. While in the Old Testament lesson we saw that David was forgiven his sins and would not die, we see quite the opposite here in Acts chapter 5. From Acts chapter 5. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is the word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects our great God and who is the one that we go to in repentance. "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel for this evening comes from Luke chapter 18. Here we see Jesus give us the proper humble attitude of repentance. From Luke 18. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord. We now join together to confess our faith in our merciful God according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, "Jesus, My Great High Priest." Please note we'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Grace and mercy are yours, from Jesus, our great high priest, and from God the Father. Amen. The sermon text for this evening comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Let us pray. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your resume. Amen. Did I just pray that God declare his resume? Have any of you had to ever fill out a resume? Oh, I got a lot of those. Yeah, I remember having to do that. It's a tedious thing, isn't it? You're essentially trying to convince somebody why you're awesome and they need to hire you. I know how to do this, 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 and this. I've been trained in this, 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 and this. I went to this school and it took that program and did this and that and this. Cover letter. This is why you need to hire me. I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. If you don't hire me, it'll be the greatest mistake of your life. So don't mess it up. No pressure. It's tedious work, boasting about yourself so much. You got to sell yourself so that you get the job, right? You want them to be convinced that you're the perfect one for the job. It's kind of interesting. In the Old Testament, that's kind of what happened with the high priest in a way too. The high priest had all of these qualifications he had to fill. It's an important job. High priest. Whew. Representing God's people before the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-perfect God himself. Whew. No pressure. And so they had to make sure they had the right man for the job. Had to be between 30 and 50 years old. Qualification number one. Had to be from the tribe of Aaron. the tribe of Levi, descendant of Aaron, if you wanted to be the high priest. Had to have well-trimmed hair and an untrimmed beard. Did you know that? Couldn't have a single skin or flesh defect anywhere. They had to marry the right kind of woman and wear these types of clothes and make sure not to get ceremonially unclean in this, 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 or this way. Lots of qualifications. And you can understand why then the writer to the Hebrews spends so much time building Jesus' resume. Jesus is our great high priest. And the writer of the Hebrews spends a lot of time on Jesus' qualifications. The letter to the Hebrews is 13 chapters long. 10 of them talk about Jesus' qualifications. So this Lenten season, what we're going to do is we're going to look every Wednesday at some of Jesus' qualifications that make him our great high priest. This evening, we begin right at the beginning of Hebrews. The beginning of Hebrews begins quite abruptly. There's no introduction, there's no greetings or anything like that. No time for that. The author goes right into it. But from the rest of the letter, we can tell kind of who the recipients are anyway. They're obviously Jewish Christians, so they know the Old Testament, it seems, quite well. But it also seems that they're kind of wavering in their faith. They think, maybe Jesus isn't all that great. Maybe we go back to our old practices. Maybe they had this nostalgia for all of these old things that they were doing and they wanted to hold on to those. Maybe they just didn't understand who Jesus truly was. And so the writer to the Hebrews writes a lot about that. and why Jesus is indeed superior to all of it. They could look back on anything and anyone, and Jesus was greater. His qualifications were better than anyone else's. He first starts out talking about how his qualifications are better than any of the Old Testament prophets. Boy, don't mess with the Old Testament prophets if you were a Jewish Christian, right? Grew up recognizing, no, this is the word of God they're speaking. And yet, this is what the writer to the Hebrews says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The prophets were great men of God, that's true, but still mere men. They were great men. Moses, David, Isaiah, these were great men. Jeremiah, you keep going on. These men represented God well. But they were simply his messengers. God gave them the message to give. Back in that time, it was kind of like they were putting together a puzzle. And each prophet had a few pieces. And by the time all of those prophets submitted all of those pieces, what was it? What would the picture show? Jesus of Nazareth. His birth, life, death, resurrection. The prophets were essentially building Jesus' resume ahead of time. That was their whole purpose. So yes, the prophets were great and they had the word of God, the writer of the Hebrews says. But our ancestors believed them because of the one whom they were prophesying about. Let's not forget Christ and who he is. He's the very Son of God, and therefore we listen to him. And because he's the Son, boy, he has some other qualifications as well on this resume. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The writer to the Hebrews is quite clear about who Jesus is. And it's clear from these qualifications, yes, Jesus is certainly qualified for us to listen to him. But that's not really the writer's main point. I told you that Hebrews is 13 chapters, 10 of them talk about Jesus' qualifications. 7 of those chapters, chapters 4 through 10, are about Jesus' qualifications to be a certain thing, and that's our great high priest. He is the Son of God, the eternal, true, divine God. And that means a lot of things about him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. But that's not all. Not only does he look qualified and act qualified, he fulfills the job as well. After he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The first readers of this letter to the Hebrews knew what that was talking about. See, the high priest was meant to represent the people, but especially on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 16. You talk about job requirements, you go to Leviticus 16. High priest had a busy day that day. He had to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, but at the end of Leviticus 16 is where God gives us the purpose of it all. What was this Day of Atonement all about? On this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. You can kind of see that the high priest was simply a picture of what was going to happen with Christ. Right? Had to live a good life, marry the right woman, had to dress in a certain way, couldn't have a single defect. And also provided purification for sins. Does that sound like anyone you know? Okay, maybe not the marrying the right woman part, but you see that the high priest was just living a good example, but that's not it. He was also being a picture of the coming Savior, perfect and providing purification. And when we look at Jesus' qualifications and credentials that the writer to the Hebrews gives us, we can see that he's perfect for the job. So why do we try to take his place? Sometimes it's like you and I act like we're the next person in line to get interviewed. Like, oh yeah, God, that Jesus guy, he was pretty good, but take a look at my resume. Sometimes we have the attitude of purification for sins. Pfft, what sins? I'm perfect. And everything I think and do is the best, best, best. Or sometimes we do recognize those sins, but we still think that, you know, I'm going to show God just how qualified I am for forgiveness. Yeah, okay, I did that bad thing, God, but I'm a good parent. So, okay, yeah, God, you know, I did that bad thing, but I give X amount to church. You know what? I'm going to give X plus one. Boy, God must love that I'm a part of his church. Or, oh, you know, what I know about is that I just have to ask for forgiveness, and then I'm forgiven, right? So I ask for forgiveness every time I sin. I'm that pious. He has to forgive me, right? Or sometimes we think, oh, I try to do my best. God has to honor that and forgive me. I mean, if he doesn't do that and doesn't forgive me, that's something wrong with him, not me. Or sometimes we can compare ourselves. We can say, oh, okay, God, we'll compare my resume with the resume of all of those murderers and prostitutes and thieves out there. I think you'll see that I am quite qualified for forgiveness and heaven. At least far more qualified than they are. All right. You want to look at your qualifications, huh? Let's put you up side by side with the minimum job requirements to be your Savior. Thoughtful and loving on the level of God. A good steward of God's creation on the level of God. Loving parent on the level of God. Giving and selfless on the level of God. Every thought, word, deed, emotion, a perfect mirror image of God's. How do you measure up? Nope, 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 nope. Sadly, we're quite filthy with sin. We are woefully unqualified. So thank God that his son applied for the job. Jesus, God's own son, our great high priest. The son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. All of those job requirements to be high priest with Jesus, check, 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 check. But not just that, he wasn't just perfect like that picture of the high priest gave. No, he was also the one to provide purification. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Thanks to Jesus, we're not filthy in the least. We're purified. That's what Jesus, our great high priest, has done for us. He's pretty qualified for the job, don't you think? How do you know that he provided that? And how do you know he's qualified? Well, where did he sit after he did so? The right hand of the majesty himself. That's how you can be confident that his sacrifice for your sins has been accepted. In fact, not only is he your high priest that day, but he's your high priest today and every day. He's still up there interceding for us. I think Jesus is quite perfect for the job, don't you think? So the next time that you think something, or your body does something, or your heart feels something that would indicate somehow that you are more qualified than Jesus to be your Savior and your High Priest, you remember the minimum requirements and the perfect standard for the job. And you also remember that Jesus provided that perfect standard for you through faith in Him as our great High Priest. And now our response to all of that, you know, it's interesting that it's actually exactly everything that I mentioned before, just with a different motivation. We be a good parent. We give X or X plus one to church cheerfully. We try our best and do everything we can. We try to build up our Christian resume to be as good as possible, not for our own sake. We've already been given the job. Our job now is for Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake. Our job now is to indeed look at the murderer. Those not just who murder physically, but emotionally in their hearts through anger and hatred. You and I now, we have a job to guide them to the High Priest. Indeed, we do look to the prostitute and the thief. Whether they do that physically or mentally, we are able to help show them the seriousness and the filth of such sin so that lovingly we can guide them to see the seriousness of the love of their great High Priest who provided purification for all of our filthy sins. You and I now have a job. Jesus provided the credentials. Now you understand why I said, "Oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your resume." It's a pretty sparkling resume. But that's what we're going to do throughout this Lenten season. Take a look at all of the qualifications of Jesus being our High Priest. So, may God bless you each of the next Wednesday evenings as you take a look at how perfect your High Priest is for you and ponder the implications of that for you in your life. Amen. Please stand. Now join together to sing "Create in Me." You'll find that on page 9 in your bulletins. Be seated for our offering. We now join together in prayer. I will pray the prayer of the church on our behalf, and we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer. Holy and all-knowing Father, keep us ever repentant for our sins. Strike our hearts with your word that we may always be humble before you, and that we may always exalt Jesus to his deserved position as our Savior. Guide us to make your mercy through him known to all. Please be with Terry Jackson, who will be undergoing surgery this week, and bless the work of the doctors. Please also use your mighty hand to bring healing to John Lervold's father, Norm. Let your love in Christ be present with Norm and his family in this difficult time. Lord, we also come to you with heavy hearts over the school shooting in Florida. Make your loving presence strong in the lives of those who are grieving, and comfort all who are in shock with Christ's life, death, and resurrection. We ask all of this through our great high priest, who continually intercedes for us, and we pray the prayer that he himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the cross. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our final hymn. Please note we'll sing stanzas 1 and 2. Good evening.
Good evening. Mixing it up
on you. I'm right here right now. It was a pleasure worshiping with you tonight. I have no announcements to give you, so may God bless you this Lenten season, and may God bless you as always throughout the week. We'll see you on Sunday. Have a good night. Please stick around to greet one another.